to the Colibri Games podcast. It's lovely to have all of you here today. I'm joined by our host, Lauren Wade.
And of course, I am already joined by our host, Nate Barker.
And today we have a very special guest, the big man himself, head honcho, Guillaume Verlinden. Nice to have you here, Guillaume.
Hello, Nate. Hello, Lauren. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining the podcast. So today we're going to talk about sort of the direction of Colibri Games. This is going to be a really cool look into the high-level strategies of a game studio. So Guillaume has spent a lot of time since he joined visualizing what the strategy is going to be going forward. And, you know, for insights into how this works in a game studio, I think this is a pretty great opportunity to kind of like look at it, you know, the belly of the beast. So thank you very much for joining us today. But first, question for you. Who are you? Where do you come from? Tell us.
Yeah, so I think I have a very unusual career path here for gaming and for managing director. I actually started my career outside of the gaming industry. I started in management consulting for several years. And then at some point, for some reason, I was approached by Social Point in Barcelona, a great gaming company, and they were looking for people with a different background, with a different senior people with a different background. And I think it was a great match because nobody knew that I was a big gamer and a big fan of playing mobile games, PC games, console games, and everything. And it was a great match. So I started my career on two great top grossing games, running Monster Legends and Dragon City. It was an incredible experience where we experimented new management styles, but also changed the games quite deeply and we gave them a great boost. It was very exciting. And then followed my career with a publisher. I wanted to expand and see the other side also of the job. I was running a studio of multiple games, mainly on the Forex. So at Tilting Point, there was a big international team and we were working on very broad and different categories. I learned a lot there, and I think we had very fantastic experience to get together, growing portfolio, also starting new games. And then at some point, I think there was a natural evolution. I got approached by the founders at Colibri and by Ubisoft. And offering me the opportunity to continue and then write the next chapter of Colibri. And I think that's a natural match based on my experience of a newly acquired company and also of boosting live games and also launching new games. So yeah, I think I'm a big Tycoon fan. I started playing Idle Miner, I think a few months after it's released. So I think it's a natural, personal fit on the kind of game, and it's a great professional fit also based on my experience on live games, on post also integration and also scaling a company in general. So yeah, that's why I think I'm here.
Nice.
A quick follow up. So you're about approaching 100 days as the managing director at Colibri Games, and I think for a lot of folks that title might be more opaque, right? So like, what does that actually mean? What does that mean day to day? Like, what does your schedule look like?
Yeah, it's, I'm very lucky in my position because I like to do multiple things. I'm the kind of multitask guy, and I enjoy meeting different teams. So I think in my 100 first days, as you mentioned, spent a lot of time meeting the people, understanding the culture, understanding the organization. And Colibri is very unique in many aspects. And I wanted to understand and have a better grasp of what, how the company was working, understanding the culture, understanding also the performance of the company, performance of the games, performance of the organization as a whole. And that's what where I spend a lot of time in the first days, in one-to-ones, group meetings, going deep also in analyzing the data. I mentioned that I was a consultant before, and we always start with a very deep diagnostic and assessment of everything. And I think I kept that trait. So that was my day, was about meeting people, playing very actively our games, our comps as well, understanding, going very deep in the data. So yeah, I was exploring every aspect of the company. I'm very lucky. I really enjoy that.
You say that you find Calibri very unique, and I'm curious, in these first 100 days, what's one thing which has maybe stood out to you and most impressed you, kind of in our unique culture? What's really stood out to you so far?
There are many aspects, but I think the main element is the motivation or the passion of the people I met. Like, I was really surprised. We are very lucky in our industry to work on something that is a passion, that is a hobby for most of the employees. But I think it's even more important for people at Calibri. Everyone is passionate about their product, the games we're working on, their activity and their departments. When you talk to head of departments, they are passionate about what they do. And I remember my first conversation with you, Lauren. You were passionate about the players. We are very player-centric. And every people I met was extremely enthusiastic about what they do and very humble at the same time, because I felt that people wanted to do even more and wanted someone to guide them on doing on keeping progressing, how we can do even better. So that was this positive feedback or this positive energy that I felt from the employees was really magic.
So obviously, Guillaume, you've been speaking to a great many people in the company, but you do mention, of course, leads such as myself that you've had a lot to do with. And leadership is a very important topic, I would say, since you are going to be leading the leads and everybody else. So obviously, there are topics such as top-down leadership and also bottom-up leadership. Kind of what's your take on both of these, just personally, but also for Calibri moving forward?
Yeah, I personally admire top-down leadership. I admire big leaders. I think it's very important to have leaders with a great, great vision and that know exactly what they want to achieve. And I think that's very important. In my case, I'm more mixed, because I think leaders as a vision that will bring the company to the next stage. But at the same time, as I said, I didn't start my career in gaming. So I know that every leader or every director around me knows way more on its category than me. So I will never tell an artist how to draw better concepts, and I will never tell a developer how to improve the quality of the code. But we just, I think my main skill is to have common sense. So I can challenge everyone on their expertise without knowing deeply how it goes. So this is why I tend to be very results driven. So we align with the directors, with the product leads on objectives. We agree on what's achievable. We put, and I challenge people a lot. So I tend to set very high expectations, but I feel that every director, every lead knows how to reach. This is what I expect from the leads, to be able to build a plan, to build a strategy, to reach those objectives that we have set together. So yeah, if you ask people that worked with me in the past, I think that that's what they appreciated, that I don't tell them exactly what to do, but we align more on what we want to achieve together. So yeah, that's something we did in games that I used to run. Worked very well, I think. And that's something I want to also integrate in Calibri's culture, to be slightly less top-down. We are in a different phase now. We have multiple games in the portfolio. So I want every product lead to build their own vision, their own roadmap, and execute accordingly. And I will help them, of course, as much as I can.
It's almost like being the captain of a ship, I suppose. You have to make sure the ship is going in the right direction, but everybody else can take care of their own departments kind of on the ship.
And speaking of vision, you know, I think one thing that Colibri in the past has been known for is being very like quick and iterative and you know, sort of proudly week to week. But, you know, I think as we're entering a new stage here, we kind of have a new mindset for how we want to approach looking into the future. Could you tell me a little bit more about, you know, what your vision is for Colibri over over the next few years? And I'm not even sure like how far out, you know, you have already thought it, you know, is it a 2-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 60-year plan? what is your vision? And how far out does it reach?
In our industry, there is not such thing as a plan over 10 or 60 years. Long-term is probably 1 or 2 years, but there are different aspects to the new vision we are currently working on with the company leads. There's a long-term direction, aspirational direction for us, where we want to go to explore the boundaries of the idle incremental games. So we've been working on successful, very great games and tried to iterate on the engines we created. But I personally believe we should continue to do it, actually, because there is still space to grow in this category on by evolving slightly what we have done. But I believe that there's a big space for bringing a new incremental game with different layers. I will not go too much into details, but I think that we are working on some projects that are quite exciting and that can really open new horizons on the idle / incremental / tycoon category. So we'll continue because we are successful. We'll reinforce and double down on what we know and where, as you mentioned, we are fast to execute. We are able to release games in 6 months, and that's quite amazing for our category. But we also believe we can take some more risky bets maybe or more and exploring more innovative ways of releasing idle games.
So you feel there's a bit more to be said for innovation within the area rather than just mastering it and getting on with life?
Exactly. I think we need, as a company, it would be a mistake to just get rid of the past. I think we have an amazing game. Idle Miner Tycoon is amazing. I believe, and our product lead is also convinced, and the rest of the team are convinced about the potential. We can still grow this game, and there are many players that don't know the game yet, and I'm sure they want to play and enjoy it. So we believe we can still scale on what we have, but yeah, there is clearly some space for more innovation, and we will surprise our players with some exciting gameplays, exciting metas.
Is it difficult to innovate when your focus gets a little bit split? For example, now we are actually a 7-game company. When we just had Idle Miner, perhaps it was easier to innovate because everything was so focused. Am I right in claiming that it's more difficult with more games?
It's obviously more difficult because we have more games. We have also, we grew a lot in terms of headcounts. We are now a very large company, and it's more difficult, but it's also more exciting. And I want to keep this fast and efficient mindset that you mentioned. It's not because you grow that we should reduce our efficiency, and we are trying to do on the operation side to continue optimizing our processes, optimizing or streamlining all our operations to make sure that products are extremely focused. We have more product teams than ever now working on new games. We have multiple new games teams. And they have we want them to clearly focus. We have this topic of focus is very important to me. I mentioned it's a bit contradictory. I mentioned that I enjoy multitasking, but because I take this burden on me and I multitask, and this allows all the teams to focus on what they have to do.
So there are a lot of different ways that game studios succeed these days. And I think we've seen a greater proliferation of different routes to success for game studios. Maybe back, 10 years ago, a game studio basically just had one game, say like an Angry Birds or a Game of War or something, you know, that was the chief moneymaker. But there are a lot of studios out there now that have multiple games that are succeeding at any given time. And some like hyper casual publishers that have hundreds and they build their success around that. So Kolibri is transitioning and it's pretty far into this transition from a one game studio to a multi-game game studio. In this process, do you think that we still need hit games in order to be successful as a studio? Or do you think that the future for us is fine with profitable but many smaller games?
That's an excellent question. And I think there's not a definitive answer to that question. I think it's a bit early also for me to answer that question, but I will give you some thoughts that might evolve in the next podcast. Maybe you will ask me again the question and I will have a different answer. But what I can tell you is we are now a bigger studio. We are part of a big company. We have the muscle to create a new hit. I don't want to stay in the category and be in competition with many indies because they are extremely creative. They are extremely fast. You mentioned the hyper casual. It's very difficult to fight against big companies that will release one game per week or per month. That's not something we want to do or something. I'm not even sure we are able to do that. So I think I see more potential for us without given our knowledge of the category, given the skills of our team to go into something a bit more complex that takes probably more resources and more time. So I would say we have the capacity to build the next big hit on the category. And I'm not sure I would say no to that. So we'll catch up and you will see in the next games. But yeah, that's something we will consider.
So just to jump back to the topic of the vision, kind of where we're heading with all of this, what is actually the difference between a vision for a company and a plan? So is the vision just kind of where you kind of hope we'll end up and we'll just roll with it? Or is this meant to be more like a definite, you know, commitment thing? Just what's your take on that?
Yeah, that's I know that there are many definitions of a vision, but in my experience, the vision is the direction, it's the North Star. You mentioned that I love the metaphor of leading a ship. The captains were following the North Star, but with no expectation to reaching it. And I think this vision, long-term vision, is about that. We are showing a direction. We have a lot of ambition, and then we will build a plan to reach that. But we'll iterate, we'll adapt the vision based on the external factors. There are so many things happening in the world, so many things happening in our industry, so many things happening within the company as well, that we need to evolve and we need to adapt. We need to iterate on our ambition. I think this is where the plan comes into play, and we have a very, I think, very good plan, short-term, mid-term, and long-term about what we want to achieve, what we want to test. And if the test fails, then we know we have a fallback option. I think this is, the plan is very structured. It's like an IKEA or Lego instructions. We know that's the roadmap where we want to go. But that, our vision goes way beyond that. It's very aspirational. It's less tangible. But I think it's a feeling that we all share within the company. That's what we are trying to work on at this moment. Work on our cultural values, align on what you just asked me about. Should we do hits? Should we go fast? Should we go into more quality, more innovation? That's the feeling, and that's the cultural values where we need to align. We need to look in the same direction, look all of us at the same North Star, and that's the vision we are currently working on together, and the planning will come next.
As a side note, I like that you mentioned Lego there, because purely from a personal comment, I know that you are quite the Lego fan, and I like that you can tie this to your work as well.
Yeah, <man. laughs> I'm quite a big Lego fan, indeed.
And that's possibly an understatement, but...
So I have a question. You've had the opportunity to serve in leadership positions at a number of different gaming companies. And I think there are several things that probably make Kolibri unique, and particularly unique at this time. Could you tell us about some of the particular challenges you faced when joining Kolibri Games? Obviously, timing-wise, there was some external factors that might have made things even crazier.
Yeah, there are many challenges. Every company is unique. Every company has a different history. And when joining Kolibri, of course, it was a very we are living in a very special stage. We are opening a new chapter at many different aspects. So, as I said, we have a lot of people who join us during the pandemic that we haven't met. The founder that built the company from scratch and with their muscle and their vision made this fantastic company. And that was also for them at some point an opportunity to move to the next project. And this is also a big event, of course, for the company. And you have this new guy coming with his own vision and with his different style, with his French accent as well. So it's very, very, very different. We were also joining a company during a pandemic is a challenge because for me, it's very important to meet the people, and meeting people on Zoom is very different to meeting them in person and knowing exactly what they feel, what how they behave. And that was a big challenge to understanding and to onboard during the pandemic. And I know it's a challenge also for the company to operate. We have a company where people enjoy being together. To come to the office, it's very clear. People enjoy playing Smash Bros. They enjoy sharing lunch together every day, or spending time after the working hours and doing all the crazy stuff we can do in the office. So I think it was a challenge also for people to keep engaged also with their colleagues. There are many, many challenges forming a strong leadership team remotely, engaging and building, starting new projects, also brainstorming on new ideas remotely. Of course, I think it's a challenge for all the companies, but for Kolibri, where the social bonding is so important, and this transition also in management happening at the same time made it, I think, even an even higher challenge.
And on the topic of challenges, we're not the only company who faces them, of course. Plenty of them are quite global problems or just universal problems. So thinking of the fact that when we mentioned visions and plans, you cannot actually plan too far in advance with mobile. You know, we don't know what we're going to be doing in 60 years. So what do you feel a company needs, or the people at the company need, in order to kind of conquer whatever challenges are thrown at them, to be able to weather whatever storm is coming?
That's an excellent question. I believe that now the technology has evolved so much on the mobile gaming industry that you can do almost anything, right? You can have geolocalization. You have you can have like a super PC quality games thanks to cloud solutions. You can do pretty much everything from the technical side. You have solutions and you have ways of monetization through advertising, through many subscription, etc. I think we have so many ingredients now. I mean, that's not easy to master them, but at least they are available, right? I think the big challenge for all of us is to have the great idea and to be the first one to reach the market with this great idea. So there are two challenges: to gather and find the brains with the great ideas, connect them together, and execute with the right quality and also the right pace to release and surprise the players. That's the big challenge, to have the great idea and to have little time between having this fantastic idea and launching it. Because now there's a solution, there's a technical solution for almost everything. So I think now it's a matter of having the best ideas reach the bigger audience. There's a big challenge on now on reaching a broader audience, scaling your installs and the user playing your game. That's the main challenge now. IDs, reaching users and launching your games very fast.
Yeah, I would definitely say that getting from the idea phase to launch it to a broader audience and doing it at the right time, that's definitely one of the big challenges. And timing is actually something which I really associate with Calibri. I mean, we are an extremely kind of fast working company. For those who didn't know the name, actually, Calibri, in German, it's a hummingbird in English. And because, of course, those little birds work extremely fast, they're very agile, it's quite appropriate for our company name. So do you find that the topic of agility for Calibri is one which will work in our favor, trying to overcome these challenges?
Yeah, definitely. This is something we need to keep. We can still improve on that. We'll try to be the fastest Calibri in the world, because we want to execute the games extremely fast. We have fantastic ideas in the pipeline, and now we want to test them. We want players to tell us if we are going in the right direction, if they enjoy the experience. But we are very impatient. I think there's a trait also at Calibri, and then one trait of my personality, I'm extremely impatient and I enjoy going fast and getting some feedback. So I really want to see if the ideas we are currently putting on paper will engage our players, and they will enjoy playing our games for many years.
An impatient multitasker. What a fantastic burden to carry.
And I think in line with impatient multitasking, it might be time for our speed round.
Ooh, yes.
So if you're prepared, this is a quick series of questions. Try not to think about them too much. There are no gotchas. Just let the answers flow. We'll jump straight into these if you are ready now.
I am.
Excellent. So first, Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
What is your favorite animal?
I'm a cat person.
Okay. Would you rather have a new phone or new clothes?
A new phone.
What is your favorite game?
Favorite ever? Oh, that's a tough question. I have so many favorite games. I would say the game I enjoyed the most recently is probably Frostpunk. I spent more hours on World of Warcraft, I think by far. But I think my, historically, maybe SimCity and Transport Tycoon Deluxe and all those games, those classic tycoon games.
Excellent. A man after my own heart. If you could have any superpower, what superpower would you have?
To release games.
Take that. Having worked in the game industry, it definitely requires some superhuman strength to push titles out. And one final question, a new one.
Could you recommend a book or movie to our listeners? It can be about business or just for enjoyment.
Let me find the name in English. Ken Follett's
The Pillars of the Earth.
The Pillars of the Earth. Yeah. Yeah. I read the French version. Yeah.
What is it about? I just looked it up.
It's about building a cathedral. Yeah. As you can see, I between Legos, tycoons, you understand my personality.
I'm definitely sensing the trend.
Well, I think that's about all we've got time for today, unfortunately, but I really hope we can have you back on the show sometime in the future, Guillaume. I'm pretty sure that there's plenty of untapped information in there that we can still get out of you. But thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you very much, and looking forward to the next podcast.
As are we.
Thanks all. See you next time. Well, that's a wrap on this episode. Thank you all for coming. I'm your host, Nate Barker.
And I'm Lauren Wade.
Be sure to tune in every 2 weeks for fresh content. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever your friendly podcasts are sold. Don't forget to tell a friend, spread the word, the gospel of Calibri. And if you'd like to find more information about the games we're making, job openings, or just other cool stuff about the world of Calibri, you can find us on the web at calibrigames.com.
Ciao for now.
And have a great day.